Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. We have again today on the show with us Dr. Wolf Eckhard-Lonick, who is a retired biologist from the Max Planck Institute in Germany, and he studies plants. And today again, we're going to have him with us talking about the origin and the biology of carnivorous plants. So Dr. Lonick, thanks for coming back on the show with us again here.
Yes, thank you very much for having me and that we can talk about these interesting topics.
What do almost all contemporary carnivorous plant specialists say concerning the present evolutionary explanations of the trap of the bladderwort?
I think that one can say that most of these specialists are really honest. They honestly profess that they don't know the answer. Some quotations of leading figures in the field of carnivorous plant research. It is Juniper, Robbins, and Joel, and they say, quote, "No adequate evolutionary sequence can yet be constructed even to present a speculative path for the origin of what appears to be a relatively homogeneous group," means the Urticularia. And as for this problem, the authors continue that Urticularia is, quote, "a complex bit of mechanism and offers, as yet, an intractable problem to evolution." This was in 1989, and in the meantime, many others have also tried to offer explanations, and most of them are as honest as these authors. For example, it is one of the greater figures in carnivorous plant research. It's D'Amato, Peter D'Amato. "How these species actually evolved is still the deepest of mysteries." That's what he said. Rivadavia and co-authors wrote, "The evolution of leaves with trap systems from non-carnivorous ones is mysterious, and there are no widely accepted hypotheses." This was in 2003. In 2010, Fleischmann wrote, quote, "The evolutionary origins of the Urticularia trap remain incompletely understood." And there are many other authors who have, over more than 100 years, said the same, in principle, virtually the same things. They cannot explain, they have no clear explanation how such a complex bit of mechanism with many parts cooperating could have come about by a slow process of natural selection of mutants with slight or even invisible effects on the phenotype, as Meyer once said it.
And which contradictory hypotheses are nevertheless offered in the present literature?
Although most of these authors honestly profess that they don't know the answer, there are many speculations. For example, there are speculations which are diametrically opposed to each other. For example, some say it must have been a continuous evolution. Others speak of saltationless evolution. Some say, well, the trap has been evolved in a terrestrial environment. Others say it was an aquatic environment. Some say it must have been Ganglesia, similar ancestors, the different carnivorous plant genus. And others, again, say, no, it must have been from Pinguicula, another species, directly. And others even say there must have been Sarracenia, similar plant species. But from all these contradictory explanations, these hypotheses, they have no clear-cut, convincing explanation how this complex system of Urticularia trap has originated. And I think it's very interesting if you compare these complex mechanisms, which we find not only in Urticularia, but in also other carnivorous plants, and also in the world of organisms in general. It is really interesting for me that a person like Richard Dawkins can say in the film Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, quote, "It is completely right to say that since the evidence for evolution is so absolutely, totally overwhelming, nobody who looks at it could possibly doubt that if they were sane." Now, compare this interesting quotation of Richard Dawkins with the problems which I have just quoted. With the honest admissions of several of these are all evolutionists, by the way, which I quoted, these carnivorous plant researchers who confess that they have no really convincing answer.
Dr. Loenig, are there transitional links to the bladderwort traps? And if so, how many are there? Or would you say that there is specified or irreducible complexity involved in the function of the trap?
At present, there is a paper, is quoted, who pretends to have found a transitional link. And interestingly, this paper has been disproved already in 1936 by one of the most competent carnivorous plants researchers, namely Lloyd, who had made the same mistake as people have now made in 2006. And when he studied the dead material which was provided in spiritus, at that time, in 1932, he had no possibility to study the living material or the life material. And after careful studies of life material, he corrected that point. And he said it is Utricularia multifida, formerly also known as Polycompholix multifida. And he said it was difficult to study the trap in action, and especially to photograph it. Nevertheless, the attempt succeeded. When a trap is set, the door shows a simple curve along the sagittal line from the upper hinge, and so on and so on. And this paper was disregarded by other authors in 2006, and they made the same mistake. And leading carnivorous plant researchers have agreed that this is a mistake. So this so-called transitional link is, well, simply an error of interpretation. An interpretation in dead material of 2006, which has been already disproved in 1936 in Australia on live material. And this was simply ignored by these authors. I think that that's very interesting. There's another different thing. There's a Pinguicula utricularioides, another species, but some people say this may be something like a transitional form. But I have checked these things, and it isn't.
Dr. Loenig, what has the fossil record said about the origin of carnivorous plants?
Many people say, well, we cannot explain the origin of carnivorous plants because the fossil record is so imperfect. But interestingly, there are many fossils which have been found. There's Sarracenia, a pitcher plant, Archaeamphora, which has been dated to be 124.6 million years old. And it's principally the same type as today. And Rwanda, another, the water wheel plant, seeds and pollen have been found in the Upper Cretaceous, which has been dated 85 to 75 million years old. Nepenthes in Lower Miocene, maximally 23.3 million years old. And even Utricularia, no mega fossils, but pollen grains, maximally 11.6 million years old. So what you find is stasis, an enormous amount of stasis for principally basic types, for more, according to present dating methods, more than 120 million years old. I think that's very interesting. The entire topic of the fossil record concerning living fossils is, of course, this is not something which has been predicted and has been expected by the Neo-Darwinian theory.
And why is the topic of convergence so important for these questions? And what have several evolutionary biologists tried to avoid in talking about this?
There are at least 11 families and 21 genera, altogether with more than 500 species of carnivorous plants. And interestingly, they occur in very different families of the plant kingdom. Just to quote some, it is Saraceniaceae, pitchers, Nepenthaceae, pitchers, Leoncophyllaceae, adhesive traps, Cephalotaceae, pitchers, Droseraceae, Droseraceae, snap traps, adhesive traps, sticky tentacles, Horidulaceae, adhesive traps, sticky glands on stems, Biblidace, adhesive straps, sticky glands on stems. Lentibularia, to which our Turcularia belongs. Adhesive traps, sticky glands on leaves. Suction traps, bladders with trapdoor entrances, complex alimentary canal, so very different ones. Murtiniaceae, adhesive traps, bromeliaceae, pitchers, Eriocaulaceae, pitchers. So, these different carnivorous plant structures occur independently in totally different plant families, and so they must have originated independently of each other, many of them at least. And Hans Albert Becker and me, we have written that, quote, the independent origin of complex and organized structures, which are often anatomically and physiologically very similar to each other, appears to be intrinsically unlikely to many authors, so that they have tried to avoid the hypothesis of convergence as far as possible. Yet molecular comparisons have corroborated the independent origin of at least five of the carnivorous plant groups. And so it's that intrinsically unlikely process that such complicated systems could have originated independently several times. That's the reason why there are several papers who have tried to argue that all the carnivorous plants going back to just one ancestor, but this is now definitely wrong.
And how did Darwin react to the suggestion from Alfred Russel Wallace to explain the origin of Utricularia in perhaps a next edition of his book, The Origin of Species?
Well, I quote Professor of Mathematics Granville Sewell. He commented the following, quote, in every family of the plant and animal kingdoms, there are species whose sudden appearances and whose irreducibly complex features pose problems for neo-Darwinism. But certain carnivorous plants pose these problems in such a spectacular way that they are a focal point of the Darwinism debate. Ever since Alfred Wallace warned Darwin about the problem posed by Utricularia, Wallace said, I feel sure they will be seized on as inexplicable by natural selection, and implored him to address these difficulties in a future edition of his book on the Origin of Species. But Darwin never did. The fact is that Darwinism today can no more satisfactorily answer these questions than Darwin could. And that's important. The difficulties have increased. For example, the trap mechanism of Utricularia acts so speedily, so enormously fast, half a millisecond. Darwin, who had studied these plants, could not recognize the suction mechanism. He thought that the animals would crawl into these traps. And now, later, but already in the same century, about 1876 or so, it was recognized that it was a suction mechanism which is involved. So the trap has proved to be much more complex than originally thought by Darwinism in the 1870s. And further research has shown that this is such a beautifully complicated system, but you have not fully explained all the functions.
Well, Dr. Lonick, this is very interesting, and I appreciate you talking about this. I'd like to just ask you one last question here. Do you think that intelligent design could be involved in the origin of at least the more complex trap mechanisms, like the Venus flytrap or Utricularia?
Certainly our listeners know that this famous test criterion which Darwin provided, that if it could be demonstrated that any complex organ existed, which could not possibly have been formed by numerous successive slight modifications, my theory would absolutely break down. But he said, Darwin said, that he could not find out such a case. It was Behe who has refined Darwin's statement by introducing and defining his concept of irreducibly complex systems, specifying by irreducibly complex, I mean a single system composed of several well-matched, interacting parts that contribute to the basic function, when the removal of any of these parts causes the system to effectively cease functioning. Well, I can only say that at least some biologists believe that the trap mechanisms of Utricularia, and perhaps also of Dionea, the Venus flytrap, and others, come at least very near to such a case of irreducible complexity. It is up to the reader, of course, to decide whether he thinks that it is an example of irreducible complexity and whether ID is involved. But imagine how many parts have to work together to guarantee the function of the strap. It must be watertight, and there's a series of different things which have to work together, which have to cooperate, which have been mentioned already, and which have to cooperate in order to allow a functional system. For example, many plants in the wild have been found which caught really nothing. So they can, independently of insect nourishment or supplementary nourishment by animals, they can survive and live in the wild. And so it is also shows that it is not absolutely necessary to have them, to have such a system. They live side by side with many different hundreds, perhaps even thousands of species in the same environment. And there's no absolute necessity to say they must have been adapted, otherwise they would not have been survived in such an environment.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Loenig, for sharing your wisdom with us on this topic. It definitely seems like carnivorous plants pose a challenge to Darwinian evolution. And I think many of our listeners are familiar with carnivorous plants, but don't necessarily know a lot about their biology or about their origins. And so this is very enlightening, and we really appreciate you taking the time to come on the podcast with us today.
Yes, thank you very much again, Casey, for inviting me.
I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.